Good Friday afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Tomorrow is Independence Day and the city of Windhoek is already set and ready to give you, from the look of things, the best independence just, well, ever. And the whole, you know, broad blockading and there's wee-wee everywhere. And just casually on my way to work yesterday in the side of, is it Gustav Center? I ran into your Minister of Health. I almost said hi, but the jacket she was wearing was a very nice jacket, but whoever designed those pockets will never see heaven. I was this close to laughing at your ministers when I was like, hey, Baba, this not mind the gap. I was like, this is my life. What the heck? But anyway, 23 minutes left to the hour of 5, so Home Run runs from 4:30 to 6. That means we are here, as usual, to keep you company until the hour of 6. With one, we always have, it's Home Run. Come on, we always have an exciting topic. And today is Friday. That means you have Independence Day weekend, and you have a weekend and Independence Day and the 20th. Yeah, all in the same time frame. That means a lot of chaos in the road, so just drive safe. If you are a pedestrian, look both sides of the road before crossing. And one of the best driving advice that Chicken gave me a long time ago, which is very much stuck right now, and it's a very good it's very good idea if you are a road user in Namibia. The best way, especially during the weekend, especially if that is an independence weekend, and especially if that's also a payday weekend, the best way to the best way to drive in Namibia is especially right now. It's a payday weekend. It's a weekend. It's Independence weekend. The best way to drive is to assume everyone is drunk. Don't assume everyone is sober. Just assume everyone is drunk. You're much safer that way. Now that we have that out of the way, let's talk about...
Helmut, why did you tell the colleagues while I was on the phone?
No, I was just introducing Home Run.
The listeners, not the colleagues, the listeners. Sorry, guys. We'll be all unpaid people, if I say colleagues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was just, bringing up the fact that, let's drive our Vrupas carefully.
Nexus of a payday and a Friday.
And independence.
And independence. Even worse.
Yeah, even worse. Yeah, even worse.
Not even worse because of independence.
Very nice encounter I had yesterday at the side of, Gustav Fuchs Center.
Yeah.
On my way here. Ran into your Minister of Health.
Current or former?
Current.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, I almost introduced myself until I saw the jacket. It was a very nice jacket, but then someone decided to add on pockets on those jackets, and they looked like, I was like, hey! I was this close to laughing. I was like, she's a Minister of Health. Behave. That's when I realized, you know what? I think I'm just good in the studio. I can't leave here.
Nope. Look, the nice thing is sometimes that you bump into ministers on the oddest days and at the oddest times. All I can say.
Yeah. The oddest days of the oddest time. But look, I expected just a bunch of security guy, but it was just her and this other lady that looked like a driver, maybe part of a security detail.
Or / PA something.
Yeah, just the two of them chilling casual. I'm like, this is nice.
But here's the other thing, Helmut. Our current Minister of Health, she's pretty tall. She's taller than me. She's as tall as Matthias. If anyone has met Matthias, I'm sorry for using Matthias as a measuring stick, but she's as tall as Matthias.
Yeah, look, but I think...
she is pretty... She stands out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is tall. And I think you can just tell that by watching her interviews. You can tell, this person is tall. And you are listening to a professional short person here. And I know,
and another professional average sized person sitting here. We are discounted in height.
Mother Nature was not very generous with us in that department.
Yeah,
that's one of those conversations.
Yeah, it's a sad reality, Helmut.
there's one comedian friend of mine who like to crack jokes around his height. He's also just as short.
Just as vertically challenged.
Yes, vertically challenged. One of his, very famous stage comedy set is like he blame his parents. Like, there are two people that knew that they were the same height. Like, why would they just do that to him?
But it does not guarantee, even if you've got short parents, or even if your parents are of average height, ne, when they met, it does not guarantee. And that's just, it's almost like a gamble. There is no way, unless you know that one of the parents had a tall parent before them,
so
before
you. Genetic disposition.
So if you've all been short midgets, a situation been producing just short humans the whole time in history, there's nothing you can do. Unless certain particular conditions get amended, for example, living conditions. Let's say you decide now to immigrate now to, let's say, Norway, Helmut, and, you take a fellow Namibian.
It's a lot of cold temperature.
Back there, suddenly, where you are not growing a beard here on your cheeks, né? Suddenly the son that you guys will have born there will suddenly have a massive rainforest being cultivated on his cheeks. And then
because of the environment.
Because of the environment, because of the climate, and because of the level of food or nutrition that you guys are sourcing that side, ultimately the children also will then, you will either see they will have bigger bone densities or bigger bodies versus, you know, us. Free range chickens here from Namibia.
Growth level.
Yeah, so that are some of the things. But we're not here to talk about free range chicken and factory produced chickens, guys.
Yeah, Malenka eggs, free range. But anyway, look, the thing is, we're not here to talk about chicken, not here to talk about independence and all that, even though that was, especially the independence weekend salary week part is worth pointing out. Yeah, but today's discussion is centered around secular economy. And I found a very awesome definition from the European Parliament website that provides a very summed up definition / description of what a secular economy is. And this is what it says. A secular economy is a model of production and consumption, which involves sharing, leasing, reusing, repairing, refurbishing, and recycling existing materials and products as long as possible to extend the life cycle of products. So it's basically about reducing and reusing, and which sort of like gives you like a two beds with one stone type of problem solving, because you have economic advantages that you are sourcing from the refuse, basically what you have thrown away. You are figuring out the way that you'll use it in a way that it's productive for the economy and also good for environmental preservation, which is, again, two beds with one stone. But now that raises the question of how can you make it productive? Because that raises up one of those questions of, yes, you have the resources, but do you have the know-how of how to use it to sort of like cultivate the advantage that's associated with the products? And in this case, that product, especially for Windhoek, which is a very good example that was used in the audios that you just shared. Windhoek in 2024 produced 80,000 tons of waste, of which about 30% of it was organic. That means it's of a natural waste product. That means giving it like a high potential, more like a ability of recycling and reusing. That, yes, you have it. Now, how can you use it to your advantage, whether it's economically or by environmental protection?
The interesting thing is also, Amut, I also now get to understand why the Namibia's Green Hydrogen Program also fits into this. Remember the second resource that I sent you, the one about the circular economy from the EU website primarily. In that particular resource, they mentioned there a interesting sentence. Obviously, it's all about the, you know, how to deal with with finite resources.
Yeah.
And how do you balance the future in terms of, do you change the take, make, waste, or do you change it to the reuse, recycle, and what's that? What's the third one? Reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah, that one. The reduce, reuse, recycle. Now, here's a key sort of like phrase statement to work on. Now, they did an assessment of the World Circular Economic Forum of 2025 that was also hosted in Brazil, the same time that COP30 last year.
COP30
was on the other side of Brazil, and I think these guys were in a city specifically of Brazil. So, when they did the World Circular Economy Forum 2025, they mention here, the WCEF 2025 reaffirmed the circular economy as a cornerstone of the regenerative economy and a vital strategy for decoupling well-being from resource use, placing the production center at the center of transition. So that means you're not starting from extraction. You're starting from production. You're starting from manufacturing. You're starting from value addition. So, it's probably also why the European farmers are so mad at the Mercosur agreement that they signed last year, that the EU signed with South America,
yeah,
which was based upon where they're going to get cheap,
fertilizer?
No, not fertilizer. Cheap food. Agricultural produce is going to be shipped in. That was why the farmers, the European farmers were protesting last year to the end of last year. Now, obviously, yes, politicians will come and make noise about things, but the concern was, you know, here in Namibia, we are trying to achieve the I almost said nutritional security. What's that? The food security scenario. It does not, while we are trying to secure the food security scenario for ourselves, it does not mean that the climate will still stay persistent or the same going ahead primarily, let's even say in the next 5 years. Because in the next 5 years, we don't know what the climatic cycle would look like.
Yeah.
The biggest puzzle that we've got to deal with is, okay, Namibia is trying to solve a whole bunch of things at the same time. There's only so many resources we can deal with. But at the heart of all of this, Namibia's mining sector is still just chugging along. Namibia's mining sector primarily doesn't, you know, it's got no handbrake for that matter. And said,
that's Africa's mining sector.
That too, yeah. That, okay. So Africa's one has got a turbo with nitrous gas associated to it. You know, it's literally a Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah.
So it's got a turbo and a nitrous gas, and the only braking system that it has is, a parachute.
Yeah.
That's it. And the parachute was serviced 25 years ago.
Yeah, so we don't even know if it can deploy at this point.
No, and the parachute was even donated.
Oh, boy.
The parachute was even donated. So the concern from that particular discussion is obviously one based upon a scenario of looking at how do we balance what the extractive sector is still doing. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious, you can obviously see from the policy direction is extraction don't stop.
No.
Don't stop. Just continue as you're going. Because if you do stop, if someone switches off the light or pulls a plug, then Namibia's economy collapses. It will be literally like unceremonious suicide that we would be committing. Yeah. So just continue as you are, extraction sector, which includes fishing, which includes, Yeah, apparently the fishing quotas are apparently up later this year, Hamoud. You and I need to go apply, brah. I'm just giving out free advice here.
Just looking there, people will be like, no.
Apparently.
We are looking for the right surname here.
Yeah. I'm going to go colonize Ministry of Fisheries instead, that department. I don't
links,
care.
Links. Anyone of you guys know this guy?
What does he look like? You know, either way. Oh, this is, oh, okay.
Ah,
funny,
so
funny.
This guy.
funny, ne? Knock, knock. Who's there? Nobody. Yeah, I'll get the Trevor Noah treatment. Yeah. We don't know. But yeah, so when we obviously look at that particular talking point of the extractive sector still chugging on as it goes on, the circular economy is promoting regeneration, and then you work from what you already have. Now, I keep making mention, Helmut, we do have the resources all around us, whether it be waste or whether it be virgin materials.
Yeah.
And even though the MC at the day of that circular economy discussion went and asked the crowd, please put up your hands if any of you are made from virgin waste. I'm like, yeesh.
Hey.
Yeesh. Everybody just sat there looking like, you know, when you hear that a cartoon where they just blink their eyes, you just say, blink, blink. You literally heard that. I'm like, yay. How could you ask people like that? But yeah, so it does have a thought-provoking proposal set up.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Helmut, and this is the bigger concern that I keep seeing happening in the Namibian economy.
Yeah.
We keep speaking from a direction of the discussion is one that has only the technology guys can solve issues for Namibia,
yeah,
or can solve issues for the Namibian sector or the Namibian economy, you know, across the country, which is not, it's half a fact. Mm-hmm. I'll say it. It's half a fact. Half a fact being, if I look back to when people worked in the mining sector, it was people that just had grade 12. It was people that didn't study engineering. No. Back, and I'm talking about from the 1990.
Pre-independence. No.
Yeah, heading that direction. When people were building the big buildings here in Namibia, they didn't have those other compliance requisites or requirements and all those other funny things that we now hear about.
Some of the best buildings that has been standing, some of them for over 100 years.
And you know, it's even one of the best sort of like designs,
yeah,
that I even spoke about is brutalism. Brutalism is, remember, what building can I use that uses brutalism design? Brutalism is, it looks like the Soviet designs, but it's not actually Soviet because it's also a fallacy. Meaning it doesn't come from them. It actually comes from the British and from the Scandinavians.
Yeah.
They championed brutalism. Brutalism means you don't have to use paint. Yeah,
as long as it works.
As long as the thing stands there.
Yeah.
You
don't need any type of decoration to make it look. Yeah.
You don't need any of that. So, yeah.
All right. Before we continue with Home Run, let's take a quick break. And there's a little bit of a role play coming your way just then. Un momento, s'il vous plaît. Is that French or? You know what? I have no idea. Tomorrow is Independence Day.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, your eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. We continue with a secular economy, and please do stay tuned with Home Run. We are still listening to Home Run, and that means we're still running until the hour of 6. We are still with the secular economy discussion. And I like the definition provided by the European Parliament of a secular economy, because it does really encompass two things that I, you know, that sort of like stands out to me. And that's we have a lot of resources. We have a lot of resources in landfills that are, you know, that are still usable. as emphasized in terms of just the 2024 City of Windhoek landfills, you know, landfill numbers of 80,000 tons that you are looking at, about 30% of it was organic. So that means if 30% is organic, then that means you can, you know, this is something that's from plant or animal based waste. So it's so that makes it easy to recycle. Now, the one thing I find interesting is that that does not, you know, the fact that it's organic does not include, take for example like electronic components, which also like forms a significant part of waste. Which I think now taking us back to the extractive industry discussion that you pointed out, that you don't want to halt the extractive industry operations, because, well, the very easy example you can use it is the chaos in the Middle East just caused a disruption mainly to one extractive industry. One, that's the drill, baby, drill. And we're already seeing the prices basically on service stations going through the roof. That's one. Not stopped, just disrupted. Now, if you were to pull the plug on the entire, you know, extractive industry worldwide, you'd crash the global economy.
Well, it's almost there. You know it, Hamid. After our discussion of Monday, you know it's literally barreling in that direction.
Yep.
Oh, and Netanyahu came out and did a public engagement with media to prove I'm still alive, guys.
Still alive, guy. Haven't been bombed yet.
Yeah, I'm not AIing. Uh-huh. But Hanukkah, it was a whole bunch of AI videos.
People generated a lot of AI. I saw one with, you know, with him raising his hands up, right? But then instead of palms, he had feet.
Hey.
And you're like, no, I'm fine. I'm still okay. Do you know, like, the internet is mean.
Do you know, it's apparently also one of the worst things. I was told by someone last Friday, before we did the discussion on Monday, that apparently one of the rockets, as those guys were bombing each other, one of the rockets of Iran apparently missed Namibia. I was like, what? What did Namibia do? How are we getting stray rockets?
What of a rocket is that? Because if you look at the distance between, okay, was that an Iranian rocket? Because I don't think Iran has the rocket capability of, you know, of that range.
Okay, maybe a 5,000 to 6,000 kilometer range. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Namibia would be outside of it. But even the level of misinformation taking place.
It's insane.
Instead of them actually listening to you and me, Helmut, where we are giving them actual facts and real knowledge, they go watch TikTok.
I've been asked like, how do you know all these things? I'm like, well, look, it starts from high school. The first thing, you know, the short story is, I have always been short. Now, if I'm short now, imagine how short I was in high school. So I had to spend my whole life running from bullies. Then I discovered bullies don't like libraries.
And it's the best hiding place.
The best hiding place ever. Now, to kill time, I started reading, and here we are. Now,
do you know what's the worst part also?
Works like a charm.
Do you know what's the worst part? Yeah. You already confused the person who asked you that question, because they're like, how do you know these things? You went like, it started in high school. Huh? Now I must remember my high school?
You don't remember your high school?
Some people hate their high schools, Helmut.
Well, I only hate the parts where I was forced to fit in closets at commercial break.
Yeah.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Windhoek beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Windhoek beer, is that barley, hops, and water thing. Let's raise a Windhoek beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM. The eye.
Welcome back. A minute past the hour of five. We're still on the this whole discussion. So in short, all the general knowledge that you all been listening for, you know, on Home Run, especially from yours truly here, was proudly sponsored by a bunch of bullies in high school. And now it's that, you know, we just piling up of, you know, Iran and the Strait of Hormuz and everything. Now back to the extractive industry.
Mm-hmm.
One industry that's been disrupted, and from the look of things, if, you know, just as a result of these disruptions, it's already causing a lot of financial panic.
No, it is.
Yeah, it's already causing a lot of financial panic. So, when you look at the extractive industry, for example, like what you can reuse from it, when it comes to now, France is one of those countries that that generate most of their electricity from nuclear energy.
Yeah.
And the thing again that sets up France apart in terms of how they generate their nuclear energy is that they try to reuse. They are already used fuel cells. I think they can stay in a reactor for about 2-5 years, but they must spend after that, I think, about another 5-6 years. You know, submerged in water for them to cool down.
Mm.
Now, after that, most of the companies, most of the countries just go straight to following
the French model.
A lot of them just follow the disposal methods of, you know, just the dig a tunnel.
The one with the concrete underground. Yeah.
But the French has been experimenting for a while now and basically to reuse the already, used up, what you'd consider used up, uranium fuel cells. The thing is, I think it's the same thing that you see with plastics. Mm. It's much easier to make new ones than basically go through the entire process of cleaning the already mingled up, mixed up ones to try to make up a new product out of those.
Mm. Well, it's also a scenario of, you know, how it works on their costs, because the economic question in answering that.
Please elaborate.
For example, some people will come and tell you, oh, it's economic to just buy new something new. Or
instead of.
Or it's economic rather to reuse the, the waste that you used. And then, remember the example of the newspaper that I gave you?
Yeah.
Why a newspaper can never
reprinted again.
Yeah, or can never use recycled newspaper paper.
Yeah.
It's because primarily, the ink that they placed on the virgin paper, sorry for that word once again, but it's a term for our discussion, is that ink already spoils the product. So one of the recycling processes is that they literally wash out any impurities out of the used product or out of the used material.
Mm.
Ink is one of those things, oils, greases, you mention it. So it has to go through a washing phase. Process, yeah. Something similar like to what textiles go through. You know, when you make let's say you want to achieve this blue cloth material color.
Yeah.
So it gets dipped in a dye, and then that specific thing gets dipped once again in water to sort of like wash it off, because the dye needs to set in the cloth or in the fabric or in the textile, and then it gets taken out. Now what do you do with the water that's tainted? Now that water gets just discarded.
Yeah.
And then the material just goes through its process. But when a material at the end of its life cycle as a product, mm-hmm. let's say it's a pair of blue jeans, gets thrown away, where does that discarded blue jean go away? Where does it actually go? Or like with the French, remember the documentary that you and I watched where they had, you could see these rooms and rooms of the fuel cells.
Yeah.
Of the depleted fuel cells.
Yeah.
Now, what's France known for? France is the world's number one exporter of nuclear waste.
Yeah.
Why do they export nuclear waste? Because now other countries who want to achieve energy security have small modular reactors.
Where the depleted fuel cells in a traditional nuclear reactor is still useful. Oh, okay.
And get used there. So you see the reuse, reduce, and recycle formula working from France to the other countries. But like you said already, what's France doing? Is France still buying, like, virgin uranium? Or is France actually trying to change its template of having all these nuclear reactors? Germany is probably trying to advance the green revolution. I think they probably might be a little bit disappointed in their own right for switching off their nuclear reactors 2 years back.
Yep.
But
especially with the current situation, they really are regretting that one.
No, but here's the worst part. They go and switch off the nuclear reactors, and then they go and mine for more coal to feed their coal power stations.
That's why I was disappointed. I was like, hey, Germany, come on.
And now they are giving, they're putting more backing into the hydrogen production sector or the hydrogen sector, the hydrogen energy sector, because many of those companies in the EU base are German companies, the German energy companies who are trying to explore these various energy sources to stick to the Great Green Deal, this thing that I've got on my jacket that forms part of the Global Gateway.
Yeah.
Now, you can obviously now see the German government is obviously trying to incentivize in order to drive an industrial development. Hence, you can look at Namibia's green hydrogen program as one such circular economy product. But it technically is not circular because it starts from production. There is no extraction. And if there is extraction, it's the water, the seawater that's being extracted to be desalinated in a desalination plant that has to play a role in the green production
product, of your green hydrogen.
Your
hydrogen that's from extracted using renewable sources, giving it the name green hydrogen.
Exactly.
Now, I like the whole idea of reduce, reuse, recycle, but you know where this whole thing is beginning to hit a snag?
Where?
In the extractive industry, especially in rare earth metals.
Yeah.
Especially in electronic and mechanical components. And that's because of this, the more when you talk about the circular economy, especially, in the direction of reduce, reuse, recycle, especially in the extractive, as in electronic component and mechanical products, mechanical waste, you begin to have a whole discussion that takes you into the direction of the right to repair.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of companies that are making especially mechanical, mechanical things, they are making it in a way that there are not a lot of people that can repair them. And for the most part, take your cars, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The old models, when they, when your bulb bend out, all you just have to do is walk in a store and then remove the top cover and then replace it and life goes on. But in modern cars, if you have a bent out bulb, you will have to remove the whole thing.
I know.
Yeah.
And guess how much it costs?
Exactly.
No, guess.
Depending on the model, you can
guess. Okay, let's make it a Toyota Hilux from 2025. Guess how much?
6K?
Okay, so my brother.
Okay, please, how much?
Okay, so one of my brothers had a colleague who bought one of these new Hiluxes, this new shape, back in 2024. The guy got a crash. You know, when you drive somewhere, and, it's just a stone randomly from somewhere, from another car passing you by, kicks up, hits your car, and it hit literally on the light.
Eesh.
And they went back to the dealer because it was still under warranty and still under the period of repayment. And they asked the dealer, okay, can you please fix this? No, you have to buy the whole component.
Yeah.
And we have to uninstall it. Okay, how much is that? Okay, it's a good 15K.
What?
Just to buy? And you know what's the worst part? You explained it there.
Yeah.
How, even with my car, you take off the lens, you take out the bulb like you do at home and unplug and you plug back in.
That's it.
Yeah. But at least you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
No. This is literally you buy the thing as it is. So
the entire lighting mechanism is also part of the bulb now.
The bulb is part of the lighting mechanism. So this means technically we're buying modular cars. So it's a format of standardization. Exactly. In production that the Japanese are now moving into, meaning
instead of you, like you would have seen sometimes with some of the body works, you know, that the panel beaters do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can see this after a car's accident. This bumper is attached to this panel and that panel.
Yeah.
This front part is attached this way to this panel and to that panel. The bonnet is part of what kind of a panel layout? It's all modules. It's modular manufacturing, meaning you manufacture things that are just screw on, put them on, screw them on, tighten the nuts and bolts, and voila, there the thing goes.
Okay, that whole you know lighting mechanism plus the just bend out light. If you are removing that whole thing and then tossing it, God knows where, and buying a new one. Doesn't that contribute to the landfill? I mean, you could have just made it simple to, you could have just made it simple to replace.
Yeah. However, we also don't have a clearly defined direction on how we deal with consumer electronics, consumer durable goods, specifically those that have plastic parts in them, like the smartphones, a lot of these things that we've got here in the studio. We don't even have a clear idea of trying to deal with plastic, like this plastic bottle in front of us.
Yeah, when it comes to one thing that you see with especially when it comes to electronics is that the practice of reduce reuse seems to be applied to a larger degree than I know, than any other industry I know, because you have a lot of refurbished smartphones, refurbished computers, and you have a lot of these things basically flying around.
But you know what kills the smartphones?
What's that? Updates.
The updates.
Software.
So if again, so if Android doesn't ship out an update for something that's 6 years old, then the phone can't work.
Now again, this is where I think to basically use the best description out of the Office of the Auditor General's reports, they're working in silos.
That too, and that we probably have not looked at the world around us. The world being. Look at the waste we create.
There's one question that you asked, though, and that was in reference to, to agriculture, with regards to the use of organic fertilizer, and how it, features into the whole circular economy discussion.
But that's also a funny thing. But yeah, we'll quickly.
It is a funny thing.
Yeah, we'll quickly take a short break, dear listeners, and we'll come back after this.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And we come back, dear listeners, as we get into a live read from Tafelaga.
Don't you think we're lucky we get our voices, we get to use our voices for change?
What do you mean?
Well, we're on radio, so we get to be here for it all. Big talk, small talk, hashtag real talk, DMCs, and the WTFs. Because talking, that's thinking out loud. It's lending your voice to something you care about.
Yeah, it's really not so simple finding your voice. It actually takes real bravery.
Exactly. But you know what? It's really important because that's when magic happens, ideas spark, spirits rise, dreams form.
Yes. And that's why your voice is something worth finding. So grab a Tafelaga and start a conversation today, because it's really not just about drinking. It's about what you're sharing. Tafelaga, now we are talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM,
and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back, 16 past the hour of 5. Before continuing, let's take a live read. Celebrate Namibia's independence with the best price match now at all Shoprite stores. 2 liters Pepsi and Mirinda soft drink for $16.99 each. 2 liters Oros concentrated drink for $39.99. Pay just $36 for 2 1-liter Rhodes fruit nectar. $79.99 for a Windhoek premium draft 6-pack. $92.99 for 2 liters of dry red Tassenberg. ShopRite wishes you a happy and safe Independence Weekend. Secular economy. Speaking of which, I think the alcohol beverage companies, have been using the secular economy for a very long time because most bottles are returned most.
Plus, also when they started, not just the alcohol, the soft drink, the carbonated cool drinker.
Yeah, but much of the soft drink guys migrated to plastic. I don't know why.
Well, they did that. Okay, firstly, that you could clearly see, Hamoud, let me first explain it like this. So, for us, the consumer, a glass bottle has a novel idea. It's like a unique presentation. It's not a presentation unlike any other presentation for a consumer product. But when you put something in a glass bottle, it has this element of, there's some sort of a luxury associated to a glass bottle packaging. Mm. The scenario also with glass bottles is it's expensive to manufacture.
It's also fragile. Clean up aisle 4 every 5 minutes.
And that's why you also still have, till today, even for the alcohol beverage manufacturing guys, that when you bring back, is it your 500 to 750 ml beer bottles, you get a reimbursement, either a direct cash incentive or it is a discount on your next purchase. Mm. And I saw that in real time back in 2014. How that particular real incentive assists with consumption, because the consumer knows if I collect and I bring back the bottles as is, I get X amount price deduction or discount on my price. Because if the shop that you're bringing the bottles back to are a designated, what do they call that thing? A designated distribution outlet recognized by the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Then literally the manufacturer pushes the, it's a rebate system, technically. So they push the rebate onto the retailer. The retailer then tells his or her community of customers, hey, you know what, guys? If you refill, if you buy these specific kinds of products, you get XYZ incentives on your next purchase. And even when you bring back the particular sort of like waste of the product that you bought the previous round.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the carbonated cool drinks, so I'm talking now about the soft drinks that sometimes also referenced to, they went from the glass to the plastic, i.e. that they can use as much more plastic, because they buy that recycled plastic to manufacture their bottles. The question is just, where does it take place? In Namibia? In Zambia? In Zimbabwe? In Angola? In Botswana? Or is it South Africa? And if it's South Africa, it's a discussion of how does it come across the border to Namibia? Because the cool drink is made here. The cool drink is made here. But the container to package within, is it also manufactured here, or is it transported or exported to Namibia coming this way? Meaning, do we now have to step up our game to try and develop our own circular economy? Another particular thing, Helmut, is also the comment that I made a little bit earlier at the start of our discussion, where I said, you can still see the mining sector is still going on, mining, fishing, forestry, and agriculture. They're just chugging along, going on as usual, business as usual, and obviously, with the particular rumors and narratives that I'm hearing about, that, you know, the current administration is obviously trying to, you know, I don't want to say force, but I'd say it's like we are wishing the first oil to be pumped, the first commercial oil to be pumped, to happen before 2030.
Are you kidding me? We wish it was pumped yesterday.
Yeah, I also wish it was pumped yesterday. But here's the thing, Hamoud. We already have Kudu Gas, and we couldn't make Kudu Gas commercial. We could have had money from Kudu Gas, but we can't make Kudu Gas commercial. Why? I don't know why. Because to me, even though you and I, we did the discussion last year, the gas to power, remember?
Yeah.
And we even highlighted there a funny commercial decision that was taken by the lead commercial entity to deal with the Kudu Gas and the gas to power discussion for the government. You could clearly see when they said in that statement, no, we'll wait until after Namibia's elections. We'll make a decision in the first 3 months of this year. Have you heard anything of that company?
You know, one of the funniest stories I ever found in Mr. Shobon's...
Not Evangelos, $1 million Namibian dollars.
Of course it is. What were we thinking?
But that's also a discussion, Hamoud, of how do you look at your own sector? If you know the soil is in your country, where do you come up with the 300 million seismic survey?
You know, that's
The price tag for that.
That's why I think, before complaining about how much a foreign or private company owns, take for example, in a split ownership company with the government, I ask myself one question. Who paid the most money?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, if you are putting in $1 million and someone comes and then funds the whole thing from the 300 million seismic survey all the way to billions, and you want them to give you the large stake, let's face it, you wouldn't do that.
No, you wouldn't.
Because it doesn't make any business sense. So I think it's what that Epangelo example is the reason why the whole Kudu Gas never really materialized in the way that it should have. And that's because everyone was like, okay, you know what, we need someone to come from nowhere and then put money in this initiative. And then we'll just walk in there and then take ownership.
Now here's the other bigger concern. It's a good thing you highlighted that as well. Being that the discussion is one based upon, what are we trying to do?
Yeah.
Now, the other statement I also made a little bit earlier in our discussion of that tech companies are not supposed to be the saviors of industrial stagnation, which is what Namibia suffers from. We suffer from industrial stagnation.
Yeah.
Now, I'll ask you, Helmut, a tech company requires what? Highly skilled Namibians. Or highly skilled labor force.
And you also need a lot of energy.
Let's say the energy is sorted. Let's say the energy supply is there. But the first thing they need is highly skilled, highly technically skilled Namibians. And now, we have World Cup football and World Cup knockout football that takes place on the primary education levels. How are you trying to avoid specifically deprivation, crime, and other particular social, socially destabilizing factors from brewing in your communities and in your neighborhoods, whereas you're not trying to upskill as many Namibians as possible, but you're rather trying to skill as few Namibians as possible. And it actually took, I don't know if you heard the comment by one of the European delegates in the audios that I sent you about the circular economy, where the guy literally said, we have to try and help Namibia sort out this thing of this knockout football in its education so that you don't have Namibians falling out or getting kicked out of basic education, but you've got Namibians literally channeling through. Namibians who are, if you started in grade 1 with your age mates, you finish grade 12 with your age mates. You don't fall out. You don't get sent to Namcol like what we were threatened with in 2000 up until 2015. I mean, it was
brutal.
It's brutal, bruh. And then people wonder why we millennials are talking about safe spaces and let's accommodate as many people as possible. Let's be inclusive. Because we didn't like what the boomers and the Gen Xers were doing to us. They were telling, okay, it's now world knockout football, but they never had knockout football in high school.
They were just having, so they were just freestyling.
They never had knockout football.
They had a free ride. They were just having a good time.
I mean, it's an unreal position to witness. You now suddenly bring in meritocracy into a public school system and you're like, Etse, what are you doing? Meritocracy, keep meritocracy for the private school guys. Let them prove themselves. But yeah, that's one of the other scenarios, obviously. But we then look at a discussion of, the skills you now want to do. The skills you now wish to get to participate in circular economies. The Finnish, circular economy. Okay. There was a Finnish presentation being done in this whole circular economy thing that I attended
The ambassador also spoke in.
But it was a little bit later on. It was a presentation by an industrial business park there in Finland. Is it Koloka or something? That's its name. Because the MD of the entity presented. They've got a hydrogen, producing plant. Imagine the harbor at Ludritz, ne?
Yeah.
It's in that harbor, Helmut, there's storage facilities, there's a manufacturing plant, there's another manufacturing plant that manufactures hydrogen or green hydrogen, there's, other particular service providers. There's an energy production plant. Everything of it in that harbor facility, ne? And out of that whole particular discussion, it is Europe's second largest. It literally has a concentration of being one of Europe's second largest industrial parks by revenue.
You?
By revenue alone. In Finland. Now that particular discussion should prove to you something. A country like that, with the specific aim of introducing, because the circular economy is something that they are busy driving, the Finnish. They're obviously driving the circular economy discussion, and they're also championing the World Circular Economy Forum 2025 and 2026 discussions. But before we actually continue, we'll quickly take a short ad break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We come through for a live read for Tafalaga.
Don't you think we're lucky we get to use our voices for change?
What do you mean?
Well, we are on radio, so we get to be here for it all. Big talk, small talk, hashtag real talk, DMCs and the WTFs. Because talking, that's thinking out loud. It's lending your voice to something you care about.
Yeah, it's real. Not so simple finding your voice. It actually takes real bravery.
Exactly. But you know what? It's really important because that's when magic happens, ideas spark, spirits rise, dreams form.
Yes, and that's why your voice is something worth finding. So, grab a Tafalaga and start a conversation today, because it's really not just about drinking, it's about what you're sharing. Tafalaga, now we are talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. 28 minutes left to the hour of 6. You're still listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. But before we continue, let's take a live read.
Velvita University, where the 2026 January applications are now extended for the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education. Programs on offer, Certificate in Project Management Level 5, Certificate in Supply Chain Management Level 5, Diploma in Legal Studies Level 6, Diploma in Supply Chain Management Level 6, Diploma in Project Management Level 6, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours, and Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours. Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours, and the Bachelor of Project Management Honours. For more information, please call 081-403-6406. Velvita University, where everyone is an achiever.
And we continue. Wait. What did I run into? Chuck Norris died.
Well,
I thought a funeral was supposed to attend Chuck Norris, not the other way around.
Okay, I'm
look, when Chuck Norris was born, he's the one that slapped the doctor in the hospital.
Chuck Norris is the only one that can slam a revolving door.
Whoever started those jokes.
Yeah, Chuck Norris is the one, eh?
Yeah, flu takes Chuck Norris shorts, not the other way.
No, we can't do Chuck Norris jokes. I'm on a Friday. But yeah.
Yeah, independence.
Well, if only the circular economy could also have a little bit of Chuck Norris in it. But you can actually see there might be some, if we can call it like leading examples. So Namibia has one. I already highlighted the green hydrogen program in Namibia, which aims to produce from nothing, basically, and the only thing that they're taking in is seawater that will be desalinated. So no fresh water usage will be applied from the country's, let's call them, freshwater reservoirs. But we actually need more. Now, my best example, Hamid, that I actually want to apply here in this discussion of the circular economy is one that can potentially lead to us making our own clothing. Guess who I'm talking about? And I've mentioned this brand before.
Are you talking about hemp?
No, not hemp. Hemp can be, but hemp is not the reduce, recycle.
No, it's a brand new product.
Yeah. So you could view hemp as an alternative solution to having cheap industrial inputs. What I'm talking about specifically is if you go look at, do we have a sector where we throw away clothing? And I'm not saying about having thrift shops, buying secondhand clothing. That thing that, remember that story that you told me about when Kagame put stop to the thrifting, secondhand clothing exports to his country?
Yeah.
Yeah, or the secondhand imports into his country.
The US didn't like that.
But why didn't they like that? I mean, the first thing it does, Helmut, is that it kills off any business innovation locally in Rwanda.
Yeah, that's the reason he stated it was basically killing the local textile industry, and that's I think first of all, we've got to learn to read before signing on, because one of the reasons why the guys that came after him on that decision, they were like, on that decision was, they were asking him, I think they were close in the AGOA agreement that made it sort of like a, contractual obligation for him to do that.
And I mean, hidden clauses, yes, are something that obviously has to be ironed out between the executives that start the trade agreements between countries. But the actual thing that we have to look at is, for example, we sit with the Nkurunkuru garment factory empty. And the aim that you have to try and bring, the first two things you've got to bring to that garment factory is you've got to bring the skilled people, Namibians. And you've got to bring the raw material that they've got to work on. Because then can you also then, while they're busy producing, you can then go and decipher and find out for yourself. It's a, who am I supplying these shirts to? So we're not saying make only 5 shirts out of the raw material, the inputs that you get. We're saying make 5,000 shirts so that you put 5,000 ready-made shirts already on the market, and someone just buys them. You get an off-taker that just buys them.
Isn't that like one of those things that, actually that's one of those things that was covered in the discussion, because it's easy to say, okay, you know what, take this waste product, recycle it, and then make it into a whole new finished product. But before you start looking at it that way, the first question you have to ask, which I think is a very important question, and I'm so glad we're asking that question now, is where's the market for it? Do you have a market for it? And if you look at the waste, for example, I totally understand that about 30% of the 80,000 tons waste, about 30% of it was organic. How much of it was textile based? How much of it was electronic component based? We are talking about what you can salvage from your electronic waste, and because it's been found to still contain a lot of a significant part of rare earth metals. Finding just how much percentage of your waste is electronics or textile is one thing, but also coming up with methods of obtaining electronic components, salvaging all the rare earth metals that's still usable and from those components, or the textile products and salvaging it and processing it and making it into a whole brand new product. They both require a whole different process. Question is, do you have the machines? If the machines, you can imagine there are a lot of machines that are needed. And do you have the technical skills required? All these questions must be answered. But the question that, the most important question is, how much, do you have a market for whatever it is that you are trying to salvage? Whether it's organic, organic waste for example, mainly for fertilizer. Which would be organic fertilizer? Do you have farmers that are willing to basically buy up those products if you are willing to do that?
They will be there.
Yeah.
It's just the question that also pops up, Helmut, is in terms of, what change will be brought when you are producing these recycled, repurposed, made from waste products? For example, Patagonia, the company, not the actual place in South America. Mm-hmm. Patagonia, the company.
I was thinking about the place.
Yeah. I always think about the clothing brand because I read the French owner, what he did in the 80s. And I mean, Helmut is not a lavish guy, even though his company is valued at more than 2 billion euros. But the first thing he said was, back in the 80s, he could not buy clothing made for outdoors. You know, he could not, shoes and the likes was not clothing that he could just readily buy from any other retailer. Mm-hmm. So his motivation as an athlete, as a part-time mountaineer, was, you know what, let me start a company to make the products that I want for people who probably have the same hobby as myself. Mm. Now, what am I mentioning there right there to you is specifically a mission and a vision statement from an individual who saw a need back in the 1980s. The need was, I don't have these things. I can't buy them anywhere.
No one seems to be making them.
One seems to be making them. How am I going to bring this in? So, the concern from this was, he started a company. What did he start with? Let me identify, let me cut down on the input costs, meaning, can't I just recycle old people's clothing? Old clothing from that people have discarded and repurpose them into new garments, new styles, new designs, meant specifically for the task at hand of you walking around somewhere in the bush or climbing a mountain, or you just need a warm jacket to keep you warm while you're probably caught up in a rainstorm somewhere else. And that's the whole business model that this owner of Patagonia came up with. Hence the reason why, Helmut, we've got to look at what we can bring as value addition, because the circular economy is all about value addition generation. It's not about having a shovel, having a wheelbarrow, driving out somewhere into the bush, and you now go and dig a hole to start up a mining company. Or you now need to own land, and now suddenly you've got a degree and in advanced psychology, now you've got to find out how to farm with pigs.
Yeah, I mean, your line of work is headed one direction, your qualification, like a field of interest, is headed the other direction.
Mm.
So now you have to somehow co-ed those two to work to your advantage. Boy, that's...
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to recycle, reduce, reuse, it all depends on what skills do you have available, what machinery do you have available, but most importantly, what market do you have available? Which I think the one that works much easier for most of Africa, not just Namibia, I would say would be the fertilizer discussion.
Yeah.
Because look at it this way. First of all, we have a lot of eating establishments, scattered across the country alone, and all these eating establishments have, they are forever disposing waste that's basically being left behind. No one is eating everything on the plate, some reason, which is why
Namibian doesn't eat everything on the plate. Let me hear the story, Hamoud.
I like that. Look, I like.
Which Namibian is this, Hamoud?
I've met a lot of them. Now the reason is not.
Why have you not submitted them to the emergency department at Karatura State Hospital?
The reason is not because you have to understand when you are going out, especially with the other gender, cooking time. They have these very long nails.
There's only one other gender.
Yeah. Now, they have these very long nails on, and for some reason, look, that's why I like to eat, that's why I don't like to eat with a fork. And that's why I like to eat in mostly traditional eating establishments. It's difficult to discipline a piece of a bone with a fork and a knife.
It's easy.
Look, it's not. Just hold it tightly and then just show it to his boss. Now, let's... We have a commercial break.
Get ready, Namibia, for 1 week of incredible savings with the Namibia Price Smash at ShopRite. Make it the perfect Independence Weekend with deals like 4 kgs Real Good Chicken Frozen Mixed Portions for only 199 Namibian dollars 99 and 2 liter Coca-Cola Original Taste Less Sugar Soft Drink for just 19 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out on the Namibia Price Smash. Valid until 22 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real. Just like Vintuk beer. For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun patkos and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley, hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Welcome back. 14 minutes to 6. So you're still with Home Run on Eagle FM with Helmut and Dwight. Now, enough cooking. My point with the whole organic waste is that it's much more easy to, in terms of application, if you take, for example, repurpose it or more like reuse it in terms of fertilizer. If you can figure out the way that to basically convert it to fertilizer, food security is one of those problems that we'd like to solve. So there's a lot of farming activities that we could basically use those products that you could make out of that. Now, when I say the methods, the reasons why the methods are important, the methods of recycling waste into something, reusable again, it's because in the discussion, in the circular economy discussion of the audience of which you shared, one thing that they looked at, especially in terms of, trying to make organic waste reusable again, is the use of, an insect, they call it what? Black soldier fly. And I was like, okay, now, this is organic waste that you are basically using natural methods. You're using you're using insects to, as part of your processing to make a, final product out of it. Except one thing that was pointed out was that the insect only thrives in high humidity environments, which we are not.
Well, I just read some wise words, if you want to look at reuse, reduce, recycle, that the next U.S. president probably has to go on an apology tour across the world.
The next U.S. president is... whoever is going to run for U.S. president will write a whole list of apologies for tariffs for the war in Iran.
Helmut, out of his first year, he'll be visiting 198 countries across the world.
Yeah, apologize.
Just to apologize. For everything. He even has to participate there in traditional eating when he visits every country.
Yeah.
So,
look, shortly after the whole Venezuela situation, that interview that Stephen Miller had with CNN, where he literally said, we are a superpower and under Donald Trump we will conduct ourselves as such.
Mm.
For me, that mentality is what reflected into the disaster that's going on, in the Middle East right now. And the Qatari, the Saudis, the Omanis, the Kuwaitis, they are now caught in a crossfire because of the ego of thinking that because you have a strong military, you can bulldoze your way through. The problem is, at least what we've learned so far from from the whole Iran-Israel-US situation is that it takes more than just having a strong military to win a war. Because Iran was like, okay, you know what? I don't have long-range missiles, to reach the US.
Mm.
Heavy enough to reach Israel, but they're not reaching the US. I'll just bomb their military bases. Now, the thing is, these military installations, they are now, this bombing of military installations have now extended to oil installations.
And gas.
Oh, yeah, oil and gas installations. And it doesn't need mentioning that oil and gas, these are not the places you want to bring a 9mm, let alone a bomb. They will just go kaboom. So, the whole mentality of, I have a strong army, I'll just go there and do whatever I want. Iran is like, okay, you have a strong army, I have the strait, I'll just block it. Now what?
Well, and fun times ahead for us.
Some idiot's idea is that, send the Navy in there to protect the shipping lane. And the question everyone is asking is, first of all, they tried that. When they were busy supporting Saddam to fight Iran. It didn't work out very well because, if you line up a bunch of, military vessels in the strait and Iran bombs them, now they're stuck.
Mm.
And when they're stuck, that compromises the passageway itself.
Mm.
Again, the thing is, a comedian somewhere halfway across the planet understands this. A highly qualified White House official, for some reason, doesn't seem to wrap their minds around. I think at this point, it's more of an ego. You're already deep into embarrassing yourself. You don't want to withdraw out of it because it will embarrass you even more.
Sunk cost fallacy.
The what cost fallacy?
Sunk cost fallacy.
So yes.
That's what Jiang called it. Jiang, not called it. He highlighted it. The sunk cost fallacy is the Vietnam War.
So let's just keep fighting because we don't want to be seen as, well, we made it.
Is Iraq, is Afghanistan, Iraq 2.0 and Afghanistan and potentially Iran.
Okay, look, this is one of those things that makes me think that the whole world, especially the Western world, needs a reform in the, you know, in their military. Because now, as a soldier, you are supposed to do what? Follow orders. You just hop there and follow orders because, you know, the guy in the president's house does not want to admit that he was wrong. I am dying because you don't, you know, because you are, you know, because you don't want to admit that you were wrong. Get out of here.
Do you know what's the worst part? Apparently, you remember the minister that Trump fired a week, 2 weeks back? I forgot the lady's name. But people were speculating it was probably because she was having an affair with one of the staffers.
Oh, the one that did, you know, the TikTok, the commercial. Yeah.
Yeah, the TikTok commercial. Yeah. That made the money from the commercial.
They made a lot of money.
Yeah, she made the money.
A lot of money.
And then Trump apparently fired her. Now, the particular consideration was apparently was the mistake of a statement she read back in last year for another event after Charlie Kirk's assassination or his killing. She went out with a statement that brought her into trouble. She and another guy, another high ranking, the guy from ICE. You remember the guy from ICE?
The boss?
The big boss, yeah.
Yeah.
He's also been fired. I did not know when he was fired, but he was apparently fired before last year's end of the year. Now, him and that lady were the two first casualties of Trump's cabinet that were let go. And the reason for this was apparently the statements they read that were written by Stephen Miller.
Stephen Miller will get people a lot of people. Will get a lot of people. Look, there are two people that there are two people that I know that have sort of like the same egomaniac level personality.
Mm.
You know, the thing is, you have to understand, a lot of people when they listen to people like, when they listen to people like Stephen Miller and Yuval Noah Harari, it's difficult to listen to the entire speech of what these guys are saying because they have so much ego in their voice.
Mm.
But Stephen Miller is more just into politics. I listen a lot, annoying though he is sometimes, Yuval Noah Harari, because he's a philosopher and he does a lot of historical and philosophical analysis, and some of it you can just sit and listen to like, where the heck is the, what type of a planet this guy's living? Now, the thing is, that interview with CNN where Stephen Miller said, we are a superpower and under Donald Trump, we will conduct ourselves as such. They didn't see the straight discussion coming in. But one thing that's been revealed is that, the advisors in the White House told President Donald Trump, this is a bad idea. You bomb Iran, you are going to put Iran into a corner. The first thing they will do is find what can work for them, what is strategically, you know, advantageous for them in terms of military, you know, conflict.
Mm.
And one of those strategic, strategy that they're most likely to use is a geographic strategy that you cannot bring here. That one that you can assassinate.
Yeah.
It's a waterway. They're gonna block it. Now what are they gonna do?
Yeah.
Now, even if you send your navy to escort this cargo ship, I don't know any company owner or insurance company who will just be like, you know what, actually that's true. Because, first of all, those navies, you know, those ships, that's a very shallow waterway. Those people are gonna be sitting ducks for the Iranian.
And yes, yes, they are.
That's okay. Look, just hop on one of the ships, then we can go.
And it's going to cost our circular economy advancements.
Exactly.
And it's going to make things more expensive.
Everything that requires transporting is going to be expensive because a fully grown idiot could not think through.
Idiots, Amut. A cluster of them.
Yeah, a class. I apologize to all the idiots out there. These guys are worse than idiots.
Yeah. Because at least idiots have a noble job in that they help you to think about what they just did and said. However, the circular economy in Namibia's discussion, it can work. It literally is something that can work. Like the waste buyback center that City of Windhoek in partnership with development partners positioned in Koriangkap, I actually feel that's something that has to be positioned across the country. So no, City of Windhoek, it's not your cross to bear. Don't worry. This is not an Easter discussion, you know, your labor of love. No. This is actually what other local authorities have to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And how we view specifically all other kinds of waste in this regard. How does this waste feature in the discussion of industrial development?
Mm-hmm.
Helmut, we have to also understand things of why are we not making our own toys? Yes, okay, let me correct that. There's a guy I met. Mm-hmm. He's from Obuo. He literally does make remote controlled cars. He didn't go to university. He barely finished high school. I met the guy in 2023, specifically at UNAM, because UNAM held a specific kind of a science-based dialogue, public lecture situation, and the lecturer of the science department at UNAM wanted to showcase how basic human ingenuity, basic human creativity,
yeah,
basic human curiosity about doing something, and obviously the need to survive. I almost used the famous sentence from the Resident Evil movie where the AI told Mark Wahlberg's character, the need to feed. And I was like, oh my goodness, that sounds so zombie apocalypse-ish. Why would you throw in that thing? And then obviously you remember the Walking Dead franchise came out after that, and I was like, nah, man.
The need for speed. That's us.
So the circular economy can work for us. It is something we can leverage off. Not all of us have to go and run around and gallivant in agriculture. Not all of us can obviously participate in mining. Even if you are given 51% stake of a mining enterprise, what can you do? We probably can participate in fishing.
Yeah.
If you have the boat. If you don't have the boat, well, things look dodgy.
Very.
Very dodgy. And nobody wants to go and cut down trees because you definitely know you'll make a mistake.
Yeah, you just get yourself a couple of, you know, Icelandic friends and just do anything to avoid Al Jazeera and you'll be fine.
Just remember that we for you to get a visa to Iceland, you've got to go through South Africa.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
We have a commercial break coming up, and we just have a couple of seconds left to the hour of six. Continue, or basically more like a wrap up and sign out on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Get ready, Namibia, for 1 week of incredible savings with the Namibia Price Smash at ShopRite. Make it the perfect Independence Weekend with deals like 2-liter Nola Sunflower Oil for only 68 Namibian dollars 99 and 10 kg Rice King Long Grain Parboiled Rice for just 169 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out on the Namibia Price Smash. Valid until 22 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. It's 6 o'clock on the dot, and secular economy. So someone that did not go to school, someone that was just basically running on their own creativity, and they managed to make a product out of that creativity. That's a good place to start.
Well, I always believe, Helmut, in make something that you can sell.
Yeah.
Not get into something that you hope someone will
hope
buy.
Hope it works.
Yeah, exactly. Hope it works.
Yeah.
Hope someone buys it. For example,
broccoli. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. The broccoli example pops up. I mean, why do we have so many examples of Namibians who went there with a wonderful idea just to become an example of what you don't do?
Yeah, you know, broccoli is the agricultural version of Peugeot.
Well put, Helmut. Well put. Well put. I'm sorry to the broccoli guys if he's listening to us. But yeah.
He's never talking to you again.
Yeah, I didn't introduce myself. I just sat at the back. So he doesn't know. He doesn't. But if he's listening to us, you know, kudos. Kudos.
Well, for one, now we know broccoli doesn't work in my region.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, all by the leaves. The whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the leaves are something. But
yeah,
as we obviously look at the discussion that we are ending on, because this particular subject matter is things have to be continuously reused and will yield benefits going ahead.
Yeah.
Final thing is just, Helmut, this is not even a low-hanging fruit. It's something that needs to happen automatically. It's something that needs to happen just naturally. So, on that note,
we all have waste.
Yeah, we all have waste. We all generate waste. So, it just needs to happen.
Yeah. All right. 3 minutes into the hour of Happy Juju, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until Monday, obviously, to Friday for Home Run, but we'll have the usual Mind the Gap on Sunday.
It's Sunday for you and me, Howard.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday for the both of us.
Yeah. On Sunday, I'm talking about, you know, smart and, you know, evil, actually stupid and evil people. Who do we fear the most, according to Dietrich Bonhoeffer?